My name is Donna, and I'm an alcoholic. And as you can tell from my voice, I had laryngitis 2 days ago. So if this meeting was on Wednesday, it would have been a wrap. But my voice is getting better. My sobriety date is August 5th, 2000, and I kind of like when we do the sobriety count because on my first screen are our new friends. So welcome to Alcoholics Anonymous. So every week I've been here and I'm on step five today, and we admitted. So step five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Well, if you even look at the first word in that step, admitted, and for so long, what did a lot of us do? We made excuses, right? We defended our behavior, we minimized what we did, and we blamed others. So to get to a place that I'm even willing to admit is pretty powerful, and there has been a shift that has happened that I'm willing to not deny, because for so long, if you brought something to my attention, instead of actually acknowledging this is how I'm showing up, I thought you were criticizing me. I thought you were judging me, and I would be very defenseful, and I would say, well, this is just who I am. And so the exact nature of our wrong, so it's not so much just to share what we did, because that's the wrongs, but the exact nature, my motives for why I did what I did, my character defects. So that's all that happens in step five. And so just look at the three entities that are involved in step five. You, another human being, and the God of your understanding. So most of us have lived our lives being separated from one another. I lived a very isolated life. So if you think about where our drinking brought us to a place of misery and despair and a very dark place. For me, because I worried about what people thought about me, I couldn't be around people because they kept asking me about my drinking. And I didn't understand my drinking because I drank when I didn't want to drink. But how do you explain that to people in a way that makes even sense to you? So I isolated. I lived myself apart from life. I love this work that we get to do in these 12 steps because we get to be a part of life again. But before I can be a part of life again, I have to look and see, well, what is my belief system? Why do I think that I'm separated from you? You know, my ego, my thinking tells me that if there's something that I don't like about you, my instinct is to stay away. So I'm living my entire life staying away from people because most people are not showing up the way I want them to. I think I need everything outside of me to be in alignment for me to be okay. And if it's not that way, I'm going to get mad at you because I need you to be who I need you to be for me to be okay. And after I do step four, I get to see that my belief system was really whacked. I was expecting people to do things based on my belief system that they couldn't measure up to. And so it's not like they wouldn't be nicer to me or kinder to me or more loving. I had to see that they couldn't. And I had to see that selfishness and self-centeredness is a human condition. See, mine is much more selfishness and self-centered than most human beings, because if you drank like me, the more I drank, the more I had no choice whether I was going to drink or not. That's how my behavior matched my drinking. The more I drank, the more I lied. The more I drank, the more unaccountable I was. The more I drank, the more manipulative I was. The more. But it's not to say that other human beings don't have the same behavior. So there's something that happens. There's this shift that happens in my perspective of me in relationship to the rest of the human race. I get to see that I am no more, no less than you. So there's this forgiveness that starts happening. and step forward says we go back to this list. And all of a sudden, I look at this list and I realize the rest for the rest of my life, I start living my life wanting to be one. Wanting to be one, not just with you, but with the God of my understanding, because I get to see that that's where the love is. That's where the compassion. I realized that everything that I was looking for out here, I had it within. And so when I get to do a step five, see, I think we already know who we're going to sit down with and share our inventory with even before we get to step five. Because if you worked with a sponsor or a teacher or a guide, you've established a relationship. Because what do? As we work with the newcomer, as we work with sponsees, you learn about us. You get to see that we understand you because we are you. I understand your pain. I may not understand it exactly, but I understand the pain. And so for me, as I'm working with people, I let them see me. So by the time that we sit down to step five, they know that they can trust me because I have revealed some things about me that I'm not ashamed of. See, this whole program is about humility. See, this disease, this illness loves when I hold on to things that make me shameful and guilty. It's like fungus, like spores, you know, like when they have to, I don't know what you call mold. It's nasty, right? And so I'm going to talk about my first experience in my fifth step, man. I've had powerful fifth steps. I've had fifth steps with people of the opposite sex. I've had spiritual teachers that were men. See, I didn't come from a school where it says men with men, women with women. I wanted somebody who was walking home. I wanted somebody who was seeking a oneness with their creator, and it didn't matter if it was a man or a woman. Because I think that's what we do here. We're walking each other home. So you might be still feeling a lot of pain. You might be feeling a lot of misery and a lot of despair. But trust and believe, if you wasn't experiencing that, you wouldn't be here listening to me. Because the only reason that I was able to be willing enough to do this work was because of the pain. Because I'm no different. It says on step, it says in how it works, oh, what an order. I can't go through with it. We say it different ways. Screw that. I'm not doing this. Because every time you read a step, you keep hearing the word God. And your ego wants you to do like this with God. Nope, no God, no God, no God, no God. And so we make it easy for you. All right, come on. If you're worried about the word God, use your own word. Like, hurry up and pick a word so we can keep going, right? If that's the thing that's going to hold you up from freedom, pick a new word and let's keep it moving. And so I'm walking to meet with Rashi. And I was clutching my inventory. Because in the big book, it says we have to share all. And the only word out of everything that we read about step five, the only thing I was focusing on was the word all. Oh my God, I gotta share all. Some of it I felt very childish. I got to see how childish I was in my behavior. I was holding on to things from a child's perspective. I'm in my 40s and I'm still holding on to stories that are creating pain. I think we carry pain way past the expiration date. And how do we carry pain way past the expiration date in the story we kept telling ourselves? So I go and I meet with Rashid and I share and if you think about it, see, I kept believing that I was separated from you and I was separated from God, but who's in that fifth step with me? Another human being in God. So right then and there, I get to see that I'm not separated. I'm very much connected to another human being. I'm connected to all human beings and I'm connected to God because all three of us are together. So even just think about that, the symbolism of you, another human being and God. Because that's how you're going to live the rest of your life in oneness. And so I shared everything, and he didn't make me feel embarrassed. I also, when I listened to Footsteps, I noticed that when we recognize a behavior that makes us feel uncomfortable, we like to laugh. And I always tell people, don't laugh. See, because I think that's the ego wanting us to downplay. Well, don't laugh. Don't laugh at all. Feel it. See, my ego wants to protect me. So it wants me to, if I see something that I go, oh my God, I can't believe I really like was showing up that way. I feel that I should feel what that feels like. Feel how hurtful that is to show up like that around another human being. But my ego wants me to laugh it off. So whenever I hear a person laugh, I say, no, feel the uncomfortability, because that's the thing that we don't want to feel is uncomfortable. But see, for the rest of my life, I learned to live uncomfortable, because for the rest of my life, I learned to live not knowing. And it's real uncomfortable not knowing as a human being, because the ego wants to do it. And so I'm doing this fifth step, and I remember Rashid said, is that everything? Oh, here we go, that question, is that everything? And there was something that I was ashamed of that had to do with sex. And that's the thing most of us do, embarrassing things around sex. And I say that because I've listened to many footsteps, and that's usually where people feel so ashamed. And I kid you not, I knew that freedom was on the other side of me sharing Now, when I was here sharing on step four, I told you, when I started doing inventory in step four, it was the first time I was aware of self talking. Because it would say things like, oh, we're not doing it right. Oh, it's taking too long. Oh, you got to get a glass of water. Oh, like, and I'm like, damn, like I never really was aware of my thoughts. And the reason why I was aware of them, because my thinking mind was saying everything in opposition for me being free. So as I'm in this fifth set with Rashid, and he asked me that question, for those of you that have kids, and I've shared this story more than once, for those of you that have kids, imagine leaving your house and your child hanging onto your leg, going, don't go, don't go, don't go. I kid you not. I felt like my ego was pulling me, like not wanting me to share it. But I knew that I had to, because there was going to be freedom to forgive. And I literally felt like I did like this, like I jerked away. And I shared. In the 12 and 12, it says that we do a list of our assets. And so that's what I did with Rashi. I had a thought, oh my God. See, I was so busy looking at you, I couldn't even see me. Man, my laundry list of behaviors, unaccountable, you name it. And you know what's interesting about the behaviors that we see after we write a step four inventory? All of my defects. So what Rashid did, and we learn from each other when we do fifth steps. As I was talking, he was writing. And so that's why when we go through the work with somebody, we just do what they do with sponsees. So now when I listen to fifth steps, I jot down the behaviors that I hear. And so when he showed me this paper, I was like, oh my God, I couldn't believe how I was showing up, because I was busy focusing on how you were showing up. And I was very humble. Because I realized, damn, you mean to tell me this was the best that I could do in life? And then he said, okay, Donna, let's do a list of your assets. And he had to help me, because I couldn't see me. It's hard, not now, but it was very hard for me to see the good qualities about me, because I had been conditioned to believe that I wasn't enough, that I wasn't good enough. And I based my entire existence upon how you were being. If I was around you and you were smarter than me, then I convinced myself I wasn't smarter than you. So it wasn't so much that I was looking at you to judge you, I was looking at you to judge me. What freedom to realize that We don't have to do that anymore. And so now I have this list of assets, and I'm telling you, the list wasn't long, but the experience I had, I looked at both of those lists and it hit me. I realized what God's intention for me was, not what I became without God, but this was what God intended for me. And we were sitting in a diner at the time because we were outside and it had rained, so we finished doing the footsteps inside, and the server had removed my plates because the next thing I knew, when I looked at the list and it hit me what God intended for me, my head dropped to the table and I wept. I've never wept before. There's a difference between crying and weeping. And I felt in that weeping, I was asking forgiveness. I thought, please forgive me, because I had no idea. See, I didn't even understand that it was about relying on God. I went to Catholic school 13 years, including kindergarten, and I didn't understand anything about relying on God. I just thought it was praise and worship, praise and worship. And then, I'm in high school smoking joints, talking about, debating about Jesus. I mean, we were arrogant. But in that moment, my head dropped to the table, and I heard Rashi. See, he saw something was happening because he said, "You're rendered powerless." He saw something was happening. And he came and he put his arms on my shoulders as I was weeping. And I don't know how long I was in that position in that moment. And I said to him, I said, "Huh, I had no idea. I mean, I don't even know what I meant by that." But looking back in hindsight, I guess we don't know what to experience. But see, my mind wants to stop me from doing this work because my mind always, it thinks it's protecting me, and it always has a negative outcome. Like I'm writing step four, and all of a sudden my mind is telling me not to do step four because I don't want to do step nine. See, my mind has two phrases that it always feeds me. If I do this, then what? Or what if? Those two statements has me negotiating my surrender all the time. But when you hear what if and then what enough times, you realize, oh, that's just that. That's just that. I don't give it much power today. And so, we go home after we finish our fifth step, and we go home. And, it's crazy because so many of us are debating about God. But not only are we sitting with the presence of God with another human being, we get to go home and sit quietly with God. So everything my mind has been lying to me about gets challenged in step five. So now I'm sitting quietly. My mind, and how do I sit quietly? My mind ain't racing. My mind tells me I can't sit still, but why, how come all of a sudden I'm able to sit still for an hour? Because in the big book it says, I'm able to sit in peace because I'm no longer holding on to guilt and shame. This feels like a weight has been lifted. And then I get an opportunity to look at what I've done. In those first five steps, we've done a lot. We admitted that we're not the great big such a muches that we think we are, and the great big Willy Bobos in step one. And when we stay here long enough, it never gets more complicated than one. I'm powerless pretty much over everything. See, I'm going through the work again right now, and I'm taking. Not to confuse anybody in here, but I'm looking at my reliance upon money. I'm powerless over my reliance upon money because I have been using money as a safety net. If I have it saved, I'm fine. If it starts dwindling, all of a sudden I start panicking. Ugh. So wait a minute, Don. I thought God was everything. Anyway, that's for another share. And so I sit quietly, and I get to see what I've done in these first five proposals, the first five steps. And I get to see that really what I'm doing is I'm establishing relationships. I establish a relationship with God in step three. Build with me. That word with doesn't mean that, I'm not one with God. But in step three starts the relationship. And because of that relationship in step three, I get to see what life is like without relying upon God. And I get to see I'm angry because things are not in alignment with how I want them to be. And I can't see, my ego will not let me see that there's some really sick people. And hurt people hurt people. And see, I do understand that because I used to think that the only way I could be free was somebody had to pay. And if I couldn't get the person who harmed me to pay, everybody else was paying. Wow, how selfish and self-centered is that? So a lot happens in that fourth step. And I get to see that underlying all that resentment is fear. Well, it makes sense why we're fearful. We're not relying on the power within. Where love comes from, where courage comes from, where everything comes from. I used to suck the air out of the universe, how much I need. And I realized that I have all that I have within. And that's what's so powerful about the work that we do here, because we realize that we have so much to give. But I had to live life without, so I can get to a place of sheer desperation, sheer pain, sheer despair, to even be willing to listen to a message like this. Most human beings, if they're doing fine in life, this kind of a share is not of any interest to them. But just the shares that I see on this first screen, you guys are looking at me because you identify. Get to go home. We get to be of service to one another. We get to live a life neutral. When we get to step seven, God, take good and bad. Can I be neutral? See, because my life has always been when things are going my way, I'm okay. When things are not going my way, it's not okay. But trust and believe, I think sometimes we go through hardships just so that we keep leaning into power, keep leaning into.
2 minutes to.
So don't be afraid to do a fifth step. Thank you. I got 2 minutes. You know what's even powerful? So a lot of the fifth steps I do now are on Zoom because, we're international family now and we got sponsees all over the world. But I can sense when a person is having a spiritual experience, even on, I can feel it. I do a reading with two fellows and we read a spiritual book. And sometimes all three of us are rendered speechless. And in that quiet, I know that something happened to me that's happening to them on Zoom. And so I can see when a person, you know what happens? This woman, she was so angry at her husband, so angry at her husband. She wrote her inventory, and in the fifth step, she said, "Oh my God, I've never been able to look at my husband from this loving way." And she just got quiet, and I just gave her space. And I just gave her space. I just sat and gave her space. I have this vision now. I got 55, 54 seconds. I have this vision for those of you that are so worried and afraid of doing this deal. I visualize this powerful presence behind me, and it's a tall presence. And there's two hands on my shoulders watching and comfort me as I go through this work. So in order to continue down these steps, really look at your step one, that you can't do this without a power. Create a power that feels comfortable with you, that's been with you all your life, that wants a relationship with you, and rely on that power to do it for a fourth step. and be able to sit in a room with what you're already connected to. You are already connected to power and you're already connected to one another. See, we just haven't been living that way. Thank you for our mission.